Listen, it's The Bert Show.
You guys ready for some Jeff Dollar brilliance?
Bring it.
Always.
Some Jeff Dollar. Let me drop some knowledge on you.
Everything that comes out of your
knowledge
mouth is brilliant.
Jen Hobby, you're not the only one who can change lives. I've changed my own life.
Okay.
And I've even changed the life of Jessica.
Okay.
And Sasha and Gugu and everybody who lives in my house.
All right.
Because I had an epiphany at some point toward the end of last year and kind of made a self New Year's resolution.
Okay. Is an epiphany something that comes to you in a flash, like a light bulb?
Yes, like Jesus came down and slapped me in the face and kicked me in the nuts.
Now, is this also
awesome.
With knowledge?
I'm not sure if he did all that.
With knowledge.
Well, it's called the holy kick.
Okay. And to Jeff Dollar, he definitely needs to like kick him to get his attention.
Right. And also, I'm, and I don't mean to delay the story, but you talk about how this is self, you know, a resolution.
Right.
Yeah. Are you only talking about it now because it was successful?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. If it failed,
go ahead.
Yes.
Not a word.
Successful resolution.
Yeah. If it failed, there would be no reason to discuss it. But it seems to have gone well. So here we go. I have Jessica and I don't argue about many things.
Right.
We don't get into fights, don't get into to squabbles, if you will, don't get into beefs. But when we do, I have noticed that we have a pattern.
Okay.
And I have found a way to interrupt that pattern, and it has virtually ended any argument that we have quickly.
Okay.
And is it because you just say that she's right?
Yeah, that would work well, too. It wouldn't be, because then I would just have bitterness and anger as we went through the day.
Okay.
Here's the way that our arguments progress, whatever we're fighting about. I'm trying to think of a recent one, but like, whatever. Maybe we have a vacation coming up, so we're deciding where we're going on vacation. So we're having a discussion about that.
Right.
And the argument always says, I think we should do this. Well, I think we should do this. Well, you always get your way. Well, no, I think you always get your way. Why are you getting mad right now? I'm not getting mad. Yes, you are. Listen to you raise your voice. I'm getting mad because we're not talking about what we're supposed to talk about. No, you're not. You're getting mad. You always get mad where we have a discussion. You just can't have a reasonable discussion. I'm certainly capable of having a reasonable discussion, blah, blah, blah. And within seconds, within the first 60 seconds of any discussion that we have, the discussion turns to how we're behaving toward each other, and that's what we end up arguing about.
In the midst of the discussion.
Every single time.
You're debating about how you're fighting, not what you're fighting about.
And so then what happens is it gets to be a big battle about fairness, like who's saying what, and I can't believe him, blah, 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 and you're getting heated. Well, of course I'm getting heated, because this is, well, you know, you're going to get your way again, and I don't want you to get your way. I want it to get my way, and it's okay that I'm getting heated, and that's what it becomes. And then when it ends, we still haven't discussed the issue at hand.
Right.
So we create another argument within the argument.
Right.
So the decision I made, and I told Jessica about this, and it's worked wonders, is we are just no longer going to fight about fighting.
Okay.
Not even an option.
So when she raises her voice and you want to go, why are you raising your voice? You have to stop yourself from that question.
Yes, but she's not the voice raiser. I am. We've named it amongst our friends. It's called preacher voice.
Oh.
Because there's a couple of guys who... Where you don't, like...
Well, because it's almost like if somebody speaks a foreign language, if you raise your voice, of course they're going to
understand you better.
And in an argument, if you raise your voice, of course, that somehow that magically is going to make the other person, oh, you're absolutely right.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, whatever the discussion is, like, whatever, random, but, you know, whatever, what the thermostat's going to be set at night, you know, I say turn it on this, and then she says turn it on that, and then I'm like... Well, I go to bed before you. Why don't turn it up after I go to sleep? Because I wake up in the middle of the night sweating. And then her response is always something along the lines of, why are you getting so mad about this? I'm like, well, I'm getting mad about it because it wakes me up in the middle of the night. Or if
she's not allowed to ask the, why are you getting so mad about this question. Once you've eliminated the fighting about fighting,
once you eliminate the fighting about,
she has to censor that question.
No, she doesn't censor it. And I don't censor it back to her. Instead, the question becomes, why are you getting mad? We never ask that. So like if I say something to her and she says like whatever, like I walk in, and I've done it to her and it works, like where I walk in and I'll go, hey, do you want to go take the dog for a walk? And she's like, oh my God, I told you I'm in the middle of 10 different things right now. Then I'll respond with, why are you getting so mad? It's like, oh, I told you I'm getting mad. And it's hard because you want to say, why'd you just snap at me? Like, you know, like why?
Yeah.
But you don't. You stop it and you go, why'd you get, and then you actually have to, you ready for this?
What?
listen to the answer.
See, this sounds great. Brilliant. This sounds great, but I think you've got two things against you. One, you're a guy, you don't listen.
Right.
Number two, how...
But he's trying to change that, which I admire. Mm-hmm. That's
but
good.
But how, as the voice raiser, because you know, you said that you're the
guy
that raises, how do you keep yourself disciplined in doing that when you're angry? You know, like, my problem would be... If Katie and I are in an argument and we're starting that process of fighting,
right?
That you're already heated, so you've lost all logic anyway. You know what I mean? So how do you bring yourself back to that?
Because
center?
You have to remember that the end goal isn't to be right.
It's to solve the problem.
It's to solve whatever it is that the issue is, but that's hard
because
egos and emotions get involved, and then you just want to be right. Instead of wanting to solve it.
Like, I find myself trying to defend the fact that I'm getting mad. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Like, where instead of addressing the thermostat or the vacation time or whatever it is, I find myself like, oh my God, do you know why I'm raising my voice? Because what you're saying makes no sense, because we're not even talking about the thermostat. We're talking about this. That's how we discuss. And she's like, you know, then her response is something along the lines of, oh my God, you know what? Until you calm down, we can't talk about this.
Oh, and then when somebody tells you to calm down.
So it's really...
That
never
calm.
Never tell a woman to calm down.
Uh-uh.
Or me. but in the end, as long as you can remember that question and embrace yourself for the answer. Because when I found that the first time you ask, why are you mad right now? The answer is always snappy.
Well, because
so
you're still on the defensive.
You can't defend against that.
Right.
You have to just give yourself 60 seconds in the whole big picture, and it'll save you tons of time.
Because
that emotion.
Yeah, because my thing is, if I'm angry and somebody says, why are you getting so mad? It almost is, the defense, I think, comes from, that still sounds insulting. Like,
well, you don't say, why are you getting so mad? Because that comes across as insulting.
Right.
The way I have done it, and we're trying to do it, is, why are you angry right now? Like,
logical question.
Like, what is making you mad right now? And you ask it in a way like, so let's fix it. Well, I'm getting mad because, and you get up in the middle of the night, you turn the thermostat down 5 degrees. Well, I'm sorry, but I get up and I'm blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe we could put a fan, and then you're just diffusing the argument that comes from.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
I don't think it's going to work.
I feel like I've cursed it because I spoke it out loud.
No, I think it's great. I just think that it's so hard, I think, for a couple, especially the longer you're together, to become cordial to each other again, you know?
Well, what I think is good about this is you've had the discussion of it outside of an argument.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, you have to discuss how you're going to fight when you're totally getting along.
Totally.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, you're not mad about anything. There's nothing in the center of it. You're just like, hey, next time we disagree, let's go about it in this way. Let's talk about it in that way. Like, let's try to figure out a logical way to go through it. But you're talking about that in a moment where you're really happy and you're like kissy and lovey. And yeah, I love you. You're my favorite person in the world. And then when they're your least favorite person in the world, you can hopefully like rely on some of that logic because you've already sort of mapped out the plan together and it's mutually agreed upon.
The other side of this that becomes very apparent, because Jessica and I don't argue about, I mean, at all, really, a lot. And when we do, now that we're not arguing about arguing, we realize how ridiculous the stuff we argue about is.
Like, yeah, it usually is.
How completely stupid. Like, how often we have a juicer that we got for Christmas. How often we have to clean the juicer.
Oh,
you know
my
what I mean?
Goodness.
Like, it's just random. And then
Seinfeldian arguments.
Yeah. And then it almost becomes comical.
Yeah.
Why are you getting mad? Because you left apple peels in the juicer. Oh. All right. Well, I'm going to go down and brace myself for the ending of the world then. And then you realize how comical it is.
Silly
I got to get
is.
This message to Tiger and Elon. If I can get it to them, then we're okay.
I've got a late-breaking Tiger story for you.
Oh, perfect. We'll talk about it at 7 o'clock. I'll deliver it right to him.
Yes, we know where he is.
Oh, really?
He's been photographed.
Mm. Nice.
Yes.
Good job.
This is The Bert Show. This is The Bert Show.
If we have a printer that doesn't work, for example, or a computer that goes down, that's a headache on a normal day. But if something like that happens on a day when one of us is out, it's an even bigger problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the beginning of the show, our show started off at 5:30 this morning with a problem. And it's a problem that could be prevented. And it's a problem that we're going to have to investigate. And it's a problem
I think we did, didn't we?
That we're going to have to take phone calls on because I know there's other people who have discovered this type of stuff at their workplace. But Wendy came in, and the computer that she uses to get traffic and also the computer that sits next to the board that I use and Tracy use to talk back and forth to Bert during the show that allows us to answer phone calls and communicate with each other, both of those computers were locked up.
Bad, locked up.
So Wendy refreshed them to see if that would fix anything, and they locked up again. So she investigated and found out that it was completely bogged down with porn-related spam.
Ew. It's not that I had to investigate very much. It's the fact that a pop-up times 10 popped up with porn websites, like, all over the place. And I restarted, more porn websites popped up, and had zero clue on where the porn came
from. So you couldn't even, like, pull up the Internet Explorer link without it being, like, all over?
All porn when I pulled up the Internet. I tried to go to the traffic
Dirty,
website.
Dirty, sticky computer. Yuck.
I used my iPhone for traffic this morning. No computer because it was bogged down with all this nastiness.
Our engineer finally got it freed up at 8 a.m. this morning. So he's got, so it's working now, and both of them are fixed.
Right.
But during that process, he was able to learn that the infection occurred at 8:52 last night.
P.M.
Uh-oh. Busted.
So me and Johnny O get out of here at 7 p.m.
So it's the Adam Bomb show.
So it was either Adam Bomb. Well, the computer faces the other way.
There's two of them. One faces Bomb.
And this isn't the first infraction. Ooh. This is not the first time Tim's had to come in here. Engineer Tim has to come in here and fix the computer because there has been porn on the other computer before that he's had to come in here and fix. Not just today.
Well, this has been historical, and I'm trying to figure out if it's been in the studio or not, or maybe in our old building. But years ago, with one of our sister stations, they literally had to take the computer out of the studio because there was so many violations when it comes to downloading porn.
That's gross.
Now, what are you doing with it in the studio?
Now, if it like was both studio. Of those computers last night, could they have been looking at one thing crazy, like, oh my gosh, I got a crazy email, you should see this, and then they both look at it and then it goes crazy? Or can they tell if it's like one weird email was open, or can they tell if it's like surfing lots of different sites to get you to that point?
All that he said was that somebody downloaded something at 8:52 that made the computers do this.
So he had to reset it to like before 8:52.
But didn't we see a statistic?
Can we call him and ask?
I don't want to wake him up. He's probably looking at porn.
Oh, come on.
But didn't we see a statistic at one point talking about how there's more porn watched at work than there is at home?
Disgusting.
How is that? What do people do with that?
Because you can't do anything with it at work, right?
I used to share an office with Crash Clark years ago. And yeah, he'd look at it.
But I don't even think he was on the network. Like, I mean, they built a special firewall.
But I'm
just
saying
for
he's
him.
At work doing this. I mean, like, it's more common than people think.
I would love to hear from like IT people or HR people who've actually had to have that meeting. Mm. Like the easy
or
meeting.
Or just not even the meeting. I'd love to hear from IT people say, look, this is how often it happens at our workplace.
Oof.
Because the IT person can tell where everybody's been.
And you know what else the IT person
so gross.
Too? Because I've done this before where I've had like on my laptop, my personal laptop, I've had, you know, and I want to configure it to work with the wireless here in the station or do something at home. And I've turned it in and then thought, oh, Lord, what have I looked at in the past few days? Because, you know, engineers, IT guys, they can see everything.
Yeah.
Like they're judging you.
Yep. I'm convinced that they can study it long enough and look at my grandparents having sex.
What?
Like somehow on there.
That's one of the
like,
videos on your computer.
No, I'm just afraid that they can go so far back in my history that they can see my parents being conceived. Because that's just what the technology that they have nowadays.
But sometimes I'm always shocked about porn at work, you know, because here's a case, and this is not the first time since we've been on the Bert Show that this has happened in the studio.
Right.
You know, and like I said, in my experience here at the station, that is certainly not the, you know, first and second time it's happened, you know, so.
My question is
that like, I know that men and women both watch it. But at work, is that a typically just male thing?
I don't know.
I cannot get a response from Adam Baum.
Well, he's probably that's not out. A shocker.
I sent him a text message. But
I just thought we should give him a chance to defend himself. If it was like, oh yeah, my buddy sent me an email that said Chelsea Handler, and I opened it, and that's what it was, then I wanted to give him the chance to defend that.
Yeah.
Well, of course that's what he's going to say. Hey, Jamie, welcome
to the
show.
That's a little naive,
though. Hi, how are you guys?
What's going on?
Hey, well, this has happened to our computers at work. We just have a little small office with, like, 11 of us or so, and one of the girls here, her computer just keeps getting bogged down with viruses, and we've just popped up, and there's porn on her computer. So, of course, she'll never live that down. And but we had the IT guy come in, and what he is, because he had to basically, like, redo her whole computer because it was everywhere. He said if you go on Google, and sometimes if you click on certain advertisements or links, it automatically will send a virus in, and it pops up to the porn sites and things like that. I didn't believe it until I went over to computer and I saw a couple of hooters staring at me. And I went, well, hello.
But I mean, I've never, you know, clicked on one of those advertisements. Like, I there's just a part of me that feels like most people kind of know that. So I think that so many people will, I'm not saying in that case we'll use that as an excuse, but I do think that, come on, I think we need to hear from people owning up that there are people that are downloading porn for sure at work on their computers.
Ugh.
Hey, Crystal, welcome to the Burt Show.
Hey. My sister, her boss was out of town, and the CEO of the company happened to walk into the boss's office to get something and caught a employee giving himself some love while looking at porn in the boss's office.
Wow. In the boss's office?
Yes.
Not in their own office.
No, it was the owner's office.
Was this during business hours?
Yes.
No way.
Oh, wow.
There is nobody here in this office that I would ever want to see that happen.
So
I don't think there's anyone I'd ever want to see it happen with anyway, whether I work with them or not.
I knew I'd seen a statistic about porn at work, and I just pulled up an article that Newsweek had done about a year ago talking about 1/4 of employees who use the internet at work surf for porn. 1/4 of employees who have internet at work, which is pretty much everybody.
Anybody in sort of a white-collar office setting?
But 1/4 of the people, 25%, are looking at porn.
So that means out of the 4 of us here in the room...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, one of the computers is bogged by porn.
One of us, and Wendy's the one who discovered it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Wendy.
Wendy, I think you know what? You need to check yourself.
Come on.
It's okay. Tiger Woods admitted a problem and went to Mississippi, and you can go be with him.
Can we have our IT guy come and check your computer, Jeff?
Yeah, there's nothing on mine.
Liar.
I'm serious. You can pull it up right now.
You already hit it.
Internet. I got to be honest with you. Internet porn weirds me out.
Really?
Like, it just seems too
CD.
Gross. Like, it seems like going to the peep show things behind the, behind a store where they have the little holes in the walls and you can watch the girl through the hole in the wall. Like, if you're going to cash in, you're going to watch porn, spend $19.95 and get Playboy TV on cable. Like, to watch it on a computer screen? Too Chris Hansen.
Creepy.
It's the Burt Show. Here, Burt Show.
Now, Wendy, what has made, because Wendy's been the notoriously single member of the Burt Show for a couple years now.
Yeah.
Wendy, what has made you take this leap into finding love on the internet? And is that why you went to those websites that clouded up all the computers?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I always look at porn. Jen Hobby actually said she got a friend involved in online dating, and it kind of like spun my interest. I mean, I've been single for... 2 years now, which is the longest time I've ever been single. I'm normally a relationship to relationship person, and both of my long-term relationships have been long. They've been 2 years apiece, so all I know were my long-term relationships, and I'm kind of in a dating rut. I mean, you meet people here and there, but nothing's really going anywhere, and I've always thought online dating was a little bizarre, so I've never done it. I just think it's weird meeting people on the internet. I don't know why. It's
sure.
just oddly bizarre, so...
I think would that
I've
be
been
the
dabble in it.
That'd be the attitude of everybody, I think, the first time they do it. Like, I don't think anybody really embraces it and says, I want to find love online. Doesn't everybody have the dream that they're going to be pushing their cart through the, you know, Publix and their dream man or dream woman's going to be coming the other way, and you realize that you both love the mint Oreo double stuff cookies, and you realize you're the only people in the world who like the mint double stuff Oreo cookies.
I mean, that could definitely be the dream, but Wendy works too much, and that's why we were talking about it, and I suggested it. I mean, she's here all morning. She goes home, regroups, and comes back and is here all afternoon, so there's not a ton of time for her to be dating,
right?
And that's what she's been complaining about, I think, the most, is just your limited availability. And I have a lot of friends that are that same way. They work a lot, right? So they get up in the morning, they work out, they do their thing, they get to work, they don't get home till 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And then at that point, like, were you going to go be a bar fly and then do it all over again the next day? No, you're busy. And so at home, when you have a couple hours before you got to go to bed and do it all over again, then you can be on your laptop and maybe meet some people in that way, so that you're not having to be always out and about trying to be social in bars, wherever. And for a couple of my friends, it seems to be working a lot better. And it's really sort of opening the access to potential new people. But I will say the first couple of weeks are rough.
Now, the internet, you seem like it's like going to be really shady, and all that's on there, these shady guys who are just looking to get like action or something like that, not like
some
legitimate
of them
people.
Some of them definitely are.
Not what I'm looking for.
See, and there's, you know what? There's the dream, your forever can come true online. Hey, George.
Yes.
What's going on?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What's going on?
Yes.
What's going on?
Not much.
You met your wife on Yahoo?
Yeah, on Yahoo 8 years ago.
There you go. See, Wendy? Your dream can happen. You can find a guy just like George.
Right there. Well, I think he found a girl.
Right there on the internet.
But whatever. Whatever you're looking for.
The stigma that I think comes with people dating online is that, like, oh, it's an act of desperation or whatever. But if you can convince yourself that it's an act of convenience and you're okay with it being an act of convenience, then it's almost like, you know, going to the theater and picking out which movie you want to see.
It really is. And I think I think attitudes about it are changing so much, especially in other cities. I have a really good friend from growing up who lives in San Francisco, and everyone there online dates.
Really?
Like, really?
That's all you do is online date, because everybody there is, well, I guess in her circles and whatever else, like, very, very career focused, especially inside the city of San Francisco, like very busy, all that kind of stuff. And she said, that's the only way that you date in San Francisco. You meet at coffee shops. You meet for one quick cocktail, whatever it is. But everybody online dates. They chat for maybe like two or three times online. They're like, great, let's have coffee, whatever. Coffee works, then it goes from there. If it doesn't, it's move on back to online. And it's so commonplace there that your like sort of apprehension about online dating would be unheard of there. People would look at you like you were weird.
So
like,
what's,
really?
What website do they use out there? Websites, do you know?
I think she's done a whole bunch of them. I think my friend that I'm talking about specifically met her boyfriend on Match.
Okay.
But I think she was also on Plenty of Fish.
Okay.
Which is a free one. And maybe eHarmony? I can't remember if she was on eHarmony or not, but I know the boyfriend that she has now that she's been dating for like 9 months, they met online. And like, everybody does it there.
So which ones are better, the free ones, or do you actually have to pay for a website?
Hey, Joe, welcome to the Burt Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met my fiance on eHarmony, and her brother met her fiance on eHarmony.
And it wasn't like, it's not like strangely bizarre?
Do what now?
It's not strangely bizarre to go on to eHarmony and just start chatting with somebody?
I mean, yeah, you meet some creepers, definitely, but, you know.
But you meet creepers in the bar, too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I don't have time to go out to the bars. Like, I literally am such a homebody during the week. I maybe go out one day a week, and then that's my only night out.
What websites are you considering? Have you even thought about it yet?
Well, I was considering the Plenty of Fish website, and then I was considering paying for one and doing, like, an eHarmony or a Match.com, but I don't even know if it's worth paying for or if that is desperation.
Okay, well, here's the idea. We're going to put you on right now. Do you guys remember Mike Beaver? Not going to laugh when I say his name. Do you guys remember Mike Beaver? He's from copypastebang.com. Copypastebang.com. It's a website that is geared toward guys. We interviewed him, and he actually made a lot of sense. We were going to kind of rip him apart and try to defend the honor of the woman. Mm-hmm. But he basically knows how to look for ads online and knows how to create ads online that will attract people who are looking for to get pretty quickly into a relationship intimately. But he has...
That's not what I want.
Right, but he has made himself an expert in what works for different reasons and what doesn't work for different reasons on online dating ads. So what the thought was is we bring him on the show, We have him help Wendy pick a couple of websites. Then he will create one ad, and Wendy will create one ad.
Is he going to create like a booty bang and whatever website for me? Because that's
not a legitimate one.
The
ad, well, he's online right now, so you can tell him exactly what you want.
Cool.
But the thought is he is a pro ad writer. So you tell him what you want, he will write an ad that, and we'll just compare that to the, you know, attention that you get from your ad. Because okay. I think, Wendy, I think you're going to be a little more reserved, conservative, and humble about the whole thing. I think dude here, Mike, is going to put it out there and sit and say, this is, you know, put it out there and be more realistic about it and more honest.
Well, I definitely want to hear what he has to say.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, first of all, it's Beaver Phillips, not Mike Beaver.
Oh, where did I get Mike Beaver from?
I'm not sure, but I appreciate you having me back on the show, guys. How's everybody doing?
No problem.
Good,
so,
how are you?
So Beaver's your first name.
Well, not my real first name. That would be Steve, but Beaver's been my nickname since 3, and it kind of stuck. So.
Well, now right, Jeff's Beaver. Giving you the nickname of Mike.
I'm more comfortable then with Beaver being your first name rather than Mr. Beaver, because that's odd and creepy. Hey, welcome back to the show, and thanks for taking the time with us.
Oh, no, I appreciate you having me back on. And while I was on hold, I was listening to some of the things that were being said, mm-hmm. and I really strongly agree. First of all, the internet dating thing, I think there was a bad stigma attached to it years ago, but it's becoming more and more acceptable, and it really is a huge time saver. One of the folks that was just talking mentioned that, you know, by the time you start your day, you go work out, you work, and you come home, you're tired out, and you're just not in the mood to go out to a bar or a club. So I agree with a lot of those points that were brought up.
But it's still a little scary because you never know if they're going to use a fake picture or if this is a legitimate person or some just creeper who's looking to, like, stalk you.
Sure. No, and that makes sense, too. And some of the websites that were mentioned while I was on hold, the first one was Match.com, which is a pay site, and another one was Plenty of Fish. And the reason I think I like Match the most is because people are paying for it. So, you know, they've got an investment. They tend to take it a little more seriously. And, of course, you know, you are going to have those people that will post the 10-year-old pictures and whatnot. But most people today on their cell phones have a camera, so don't be shy, Wendy, about asking somebody to, you know, to stand in front of a mirror and text you a picture. You know, I don't have a problem doing it, and I think unless they've got something to hide, they shouldn't have a problem with it either.
What now? You heard because you offered to write an ad for Wendy, and her concern is that your ad is going to be, you know, just attracting dudes who are ready to hook up for one night and hang out with her.
Well, yep. Based on the title of my book, she's got a valid concern, but I do offer some services to my readers, and one of those services, writing profiles. And when they do move forward with that, the first thing I do is send them a questionnaire. And the very first question on there is, what are you seeking? And it sounds to me like Wendy isn't looking for a booty call. She's looking for a long-term relationship, so mm-hmm. I'll write a profile geared toward what she's seeking.
Are there any are there any buzzwords that you'll definitely include in there, or that you'll definitely not, that you'll leave out?
Well, certainly I'm going to try and make it a little bit more conservative because, again, she is looking for that, it sounds like the long-term deal. Is that right, Wendy?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm not going to use, you know, graphic words or anything like that or anything sexually suggestive. I'll keep that stuff out.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And then I think what we're going to do is Wendy is also going to create an ad mm-hmm. just to see which one is going to attract more attention. Because if I'm going to guess, Beaver, your ad is going to be more bold and more direct than I think Wendy would have the confidence to put out there.
I can tell you I've already created one, so I'm pretty confident. So but it's not like there's not a lot in it.
What does yours sound like? Like, what's your profile? Like, what's your description of you? How would you describe you, Wendy?
I literally just put in keywords of stuff I like. It's just like happiness equals, and then this is everything I like.
That's so kind of cool. I was going to ask Beaver, is it like personality descriptions or interests that you should go with first?
Well, it's a little of both. And one thing that I really try and stress throughout my book is how to separate yourself from your competition.
Okay.
Because obviously I've seen a lot of different females' profiles. And, you know, if there's another one that says, looking for my knight in shining armor, it just makes me want to puke because there's so many of those types of headlines and things like that. One thing that I use in my profile, I do a lot of the self-deprecating type behaviors and comments. So, you know, an idea I had for Wendy, and I think that guys might find it funny, and I think it would maybe separate her profile from some of the other women's, maybe a subject line like clingy drama queen seeks man of dreams or something. You know, just get some humor in there. I don't know if you'd be comfortable with that, but it would certainly stand out from some of the other profiles that are out there.
And it'd probably put the guy at ease, because yes. I would assume a guy seeing a headline that says, looking for knight in shining armor, that would make a guy run, right?
Absolutely. Right. But the clingy drama queen, like, you would want to click on that. And if the rest of the profile was...
It was like tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, was that funny? Like, hey, I'm looking for someone who wants to move in tomorrow. You know what I mean? And you knew it was a joke.
Right. I'll bring a U-Haul to the first date.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, I do a lot of that humor and self-deprecation and stuff, and it really works. It works well. So, again, if we can kind of keep yours looking unlike the other women's out there, I think it's going to help a great deal.
Well, what we're going to do is connect the two of you guys off the air so you can talk and create the profile. And then, Wendy, you said you already have one up.
Mm-hmm.
Beaver, you can write the ad and you can place it on, or instruct Wendy to place it on whichever website or websites you think are right. And we'll put it out there. This is not something, I don't think we're not linking it up to the radio station or anything, right? Like people...
It'll be outside of Q100, but yeah. Can she also have him pick out of, like, maybe five pictures which picture he would pick to put on the profile?
Oh, yeah, that's important, too. Yeah. We didn't even touch on that.
And then, like, what picture you would put on the profile?
Absolutely.
Like, give him a choice of, you know, five or six different pictures of you?
I mean, I'm definitely willing to try anything. Obviously, I don't want to be single for a long time. And that's what I feel like I'm in.
All right, so, Beaver, thank you so much again for your time. We'll have you on again once this has been up and running for a couple weeks. But your website, copypasteandbang.com, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And, Wendy, just one thing. Don't feel like you're being desperate by doing this. I know that somebody had mentioned that it's very popular in San Francisco, and it's getting more and more popular everywhere. So you'll be fine.
All right.
It's all good.
I'm jumping in with both feet.
Good.
Good.
Thank you, sir. Right. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys.
You're on The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
This past weekend, Jessica and I went out and played Tourist.
Right. I saw those tweets.
Yeah, we've been here since 2001. We took our first CNN Center tour.
Really?
Went into the newsroom. Had never done that. And, you know, you get the newsroom and headline news and see where Robin Mead does her show and where the...
What'd you think?
That was cool. Actually, you know what? A little real talk. They escort you into a room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had three... There are three issues that I thought of with this CNN tour. And I just think that they should be... I'm just going to say them because I think they should be pointed out, but they're not complaints. But when they usher you in, you go up an elevator and you go up in groups of 10 because there's only one or two elevators that take you up. And then you wait in a room that has a flat screen in front of it and you are actually watching CNN.
Okay.
And the flat screen is made up of monitors that are paneled together. And like four of the monitors weren't working.
Oh, that's not good.
So that's how the tour
started. Yeah, if you're a TV station, you probably should have your TVs working.
And we want to get those fixed.
Yeah, so that was the first thing. Then the second thing is in the actual CNN newsroom, when you're taking the tour, you're in a glass, you're looking down onto the newsroom, and the anchor desk is in the corner, and the weather station's to your left, and there's everybody's desks, all the assignment editors and the writers and the researchers, all that's all right there, right? But you're behind glass, and there's a ledge right in front of you. And this is going to sound so nitpicky, but the ledge was really dusty.
Mm.
And everyone around me in the tour was talking about how dirty it was. Like, oh, I hope nobody in there has allergies. God, look at all the dirt up there, blah, blah, blah. So that was the second thing.
They need a cleaning task force.
Right.
They've been cutting back in areas they shouldn't.
And then the third one was what's that?
Nothing.
In here?
I was just saying about, you know,
she's clearing her
first impressions in reception areas and things like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like dark, dark corners.
Yeah, cages, not a good first impression.
Right. Lights off. So the, and then the third thing is, and then the final step is they show you a little video where it's all the anchors, the CNN anchors talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And it's shown and it's done really cool with like this white drape hanging down and they show the film on the white and stuff. But the problem is the white drape stops about 2 feet before the ground. And underneath the white drape, you see all the stands that are holding up the projectors and the screens that are behind it and all the wires and all the cabling. And I thought, you know, for $150, you could go to Lowe's, nail a couple of 2x4s together, paint a board black, put it there. Nobody would ever see any of that stuff. And
oh
those,
my God, you're talking about the stands and the cords.
And those three things, for whatever reason, I'm like, God, this tour is so great, but there's just the little
details. You were turning into your father.
I know. I was like, the little details, I'm like.
It could have looked more polished.
Yes.
And you would have been more proud to say, this is one of the big attractions in our city.
Exactly.
Got it.
And it was really bugged me when everybody was talking about the dust.
Mm-hmm.
So no offense, CNN. It's not, I'm not criticizing everybody who was on the tour. Jessica's cousin's in from out of town, which is why we took the tour in the first place.
Got it.
So we're showing him Atlanta sights, and he was impressed. Jessica was impressed. I like stuff like that. I was impressed. But when I heard everybody talking about the dust bunnies, I was like, come on, CNN, represent.
Step it up.
Get a vacuum.
Get a ladder. Get up there. You know, Dustbusters.
What other touristy things you did
and
you
then
guys
we went,
do?
Then we went to the New World of Coke.
How was it? I haven't been there.
I haven't been there either.
I thought it was cool. What are you about to say?
I like the tasting room. I mean, I can only see so much Coca-Cola memorabilia.
Right.
So that does...
Did you grow up with it or no?
With Coke? Drinking
yeah.
Coke?
No, yeah. With the memorabilia and stuff. Because the one thing about the World of Coke that I loved is the fact that there's so much... Because there's a room full of just products.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess it depends on where you grew up, but... We had all those products, the platters, the bottles, the, you know, my parents fully bought into the whole Coke Santa thing. And so there was a lot of, it brought back childhood memories for me. So I
yeah,
thought it was really neat.
I thought it was cool. I just think it had a, I mean, it was clean in there. I'll give them that. And the TV monitors all seemed to work.
It's newer. It's a little newer.
But I just think for me, like if my parents were there, they would love it. Because they would go through it step by step, and they would remember advertisements or whatever. I kind of went through like one little thing, and I thought it was cool. I do think it's neat that the formula for Coca-Cola is still a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, then, yeah, definitely.
And then that tasting room is, you know, that I mean, that's always cool. Like calling people, oh my God, taste this one. It's awful.
I'm just so sorry. And I'm sorry to our Asian listening audience, but I just, it's always the Asian
the soft drinks.
I just, there's just a different... taste that you grow up with.
I didn't like the African ones.
And you don't like it?
Oh, I just can't. Uh-uh.
Terrible.
Yes, to me.
See, I like the Asian ones. They had a green apple one or an apple one that was great, but the Africa continent kiosk was way too sweet to me.
Are these all Cokes or are these all sodas?
These are all Coke products, so they're all sodas.
Coke products that are all around the world, and they're different.
And there's a whole big room and you get a cup.
Which is fascinating to me because it shows the different cultures have different tastes. So it is, I mean, it is very educational.
And just so you know what a creature of habit everyone in the world is, when you leave, they hand you a little, like, 8-ounce bottle of Coke in the glass bottle.
That was made there at the facility while you were taking your tour.
Yeah, like an official Coke.
That's cool.
And so everybody pops it open on the way out, and you're like, oh, my God, this is the greatest tasting stuff ever.
Oh, and the bottle, the glass bottle, yeah.
Because you've just had a whole bunch of stuff that's just, like, bizarre and random and weird. But we did the World of Coke, and we did the CNN Center, and then kind of ran out of things.
Did you go to Martin Luther King Center?
No.
But you've been there, though.
I've been there before, and the only reason we didn't go is because it was MLK weekend, and we knew and we knew
be
it would
really
be packed.
Busy.
Mm-hmm. So that's
that whole Eternal Flame down there is cool to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fact that they always keep it going. I'm like, how do they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's still in town, and we have more stuff to do, so the MLK one is good. That'll be
neat. You mean your cousin?
Yeah. Oh, not MLK. Yeah, my cousin is...
I thought, well, yeah,
the
kinda,
cousin
yeah.
is still here.
Yeah, Jessica's cousin's still in town, so we're looking for a couple more things to do. So
definitely go down there.
I might try to see if the Thrashers are playing tomorrow night.
The Hawks are playing on Friday.
They
what
are?
What about Aquarium?
Mm-hmm. And tonight?
No,
he's from Hawaii.
Oh.
Well, no.
He's not really quite
kinda
interested.
Underwhelming.
What about Stone Mountain? You can go tubing.
You can Snow Mountain.
The Varsity? What do you have? What do you have?
It's, I mean, it's neat to see. I just want more tourist attractions. I want Disney World.
Hold on, what else do we have?
But I think it's hard.
Aren't they reopening the thing at the top of the Westin Peach Tree?
It's not open yet. I don't think it's spinning yet.
But they're supposed to be reopening like soon, like this week or something.
Are they?
Like really, really soon. If not already.
Yeah.
See, I always think it's neat. Like,
what's that one called?
I think college campuses are tourist attractions, too. I always think it...
We did drive them through town.
Yeah, if we go to a different town, then I think the college campuses are cool.
High Museum.
That we actually thought of that because they have the Da Vinci exhibit.
It's really good. I've been through it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, it was really good.
That'd be cool. When'd you go to that?
I went to that on a really fun date.
Oh, that's cool.
I did, yeah.
That's awesome.
Because dating is a verb.
The Bird Show.